seconds, 2 seconds. Riddell all the way outside to Watford. Three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! He puts it up on the left hand. No good. Tipped up. And no good again. Batted away. Tipped into Cody. Indiana's going to win it. They win it.
Yogi Ferrell. Will he take the big shot? Bryant is trying to post. It's Yogi. It's three. Got him all!
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana basketball discussion with me, Jared Morris, the host and co-founder of the Assembly Call, and featuring Alex Bozich, the founder and editor of Inside the Hall. Before we dive into this week's episode of Podcast on the Brink, a quick word from this week's sponsor to begin. This week's episode of Podcast on the Brink is brought to you by SeatGeek. You know, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites really seem to want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that really does make it easier than ever before for fans to buy and sell tickets. That's why SeatGeek is the first place I go to when I'm looking for tickets to a game or to a concert. And a big reason why is that SeatGeek does all the price comparison for me, and they'll do it for you too. They search multiple ticket sites, ensuring that you get the best possible deal. They do the work, you and I save the time and money, which sounds like a good deal to me. Best of all, listeners of Podcast on the Brink get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So here's how that works. To get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, all right, and go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K, and then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Again, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code B-R-I-N-K today. Alrighty, and now this week's episode of Podcast on the Brink. All right, and we are joined by former Hoosier Max Bielefeldt here on this episode of Podcast on the Brink. Max, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Doing very well. Excited to have finally seen the Hoosiers, you know, play a couple of exhibition games, and excited for Friday against Kansas. And it was nice hearing you on the call for the two games on BTN Plus. For those who paid for the BTN Plus subscription and got to listen to the broadcast, Max did the color analysis for both games. And I thought you did a really good job and provide a lot of really good insight from your time with the team last year. So kudos on that. Is that, I mean, obviously that's something that you're serious about. Is that something that you want to do moving forward, is get into to doing more analysis?
Yeah, I'm, you know, I think I provide a pretty unique perspective, you know, being on the sideline there, and, you know, I'm doing the Liberty game as well as Mississippi Valley State later in November. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I enjoy doing, and I'm going to see where it takes me.
Good. What was the biggest difference? I mean, you know, obviously last year your vantage point, you know, playing on the team. Now you're kind of watching as an analyst. What kind of perspective, different perspective, does that give you?
You know, I guess it's, well, A, you know, you're sitting on the other side of the court, so that's weird, and you're never standing, you're completely sitting. So that's probably the biggest difference. You know, I want to get up there and suit up and start playing, but you know, it's different because I'm trying to be a lot more analytical, you know, as far as what's going on in the game. You know, I'm still seeing some of the same things, which, you know, kind of gives me a unique perspective of it. But, you know, just talking and being able to talk about kind of what's going on in the guys' minds, cause I'm so close to so many of them. It's different. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. And that's what makes it interesting is, you know, you've actually played with these guys just last year. So you've been there and practiced with them and have that real unique perspective. You know, as you watched those two exhibition games, what were maybe the one or two biggest takeaways that you had from watching Indiana play here early in the season?
You know, I think from the Hope game to the Bellarmine game, the Bellarmine game, they looked a lot more in sync most of the game. You know, I kept commenting how they were organized on defense, you know, hitting rotations better, making the simple play, not trying to do too much, and you know, even though they weren't knocking down their threes, they were getting open shots. And, you know, you can't, you know, the threes are going to fall. You know, Indiana's going to make threes no matter who you put out there. But I think the biggest takeaways were the development from the first game to the second exhibition game. and kind of seeing the chemistry grow. Those were probably the two biggest things I saw.
You know, and you mentioned on, I think it was the Bellarmine broadcast, how much you hated having to go up against OG in the post. And he just looks, you know, to me watching him, you know, you see the skill development, but to me it looks like he has a different mindset this year. Like he's, you know, much more comfortable. He's not this timid freshman. He's going out there, it seems to me, ready to dominate on every possession. Are you seeing that from him? Like, does it seem like kind of a different mentality that he has this year, at least early in these couple exhibition games?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. I think he knows he's going to be in a lot bigger role this year. You know, Coach Crean's been preparing him all summer to be in that role. Last year, he was kind of trying to find the ropes a little bit. You know, kind of waiting to be told where to go instead of him, you know, being assertive and doing that. And I think, you know, with him out there being one of the guys everyone's going to look to make the big play offensively and defensively, he knows that he's to have a shift in mentality, and he's matured. He definitely has. And you can see that in his game, just the way he's been playing.
Max, one thing Coach Crean's talked about in the preseason a lot is, not only does Indiana have to replace Yogi, but in addition to that, the leadership that the guys like you and Nick Zeisloft, Ryan Burton, and Troy provided, you know these guys well. I mean, do you see any one or two guys stepping into a leadership role just based on what the roster looks like right now? Or do you think it needs to be more of a collective thing?
I would say, obviously the obvious one was Colin, but when he went down with that injury, it's tough because, you know, he almost has more of a coaching role now, you know, going from the sideline onto the court. So I would say Colin, but as far as people that are going to be on the court, I think the biggest person that kind of can replace Colin in a way is probably Jawan, would be my guess, and Josh Newkirk as well. I think Jawan, you know, he was, even as a freshman, you know, he was already acting like an upperclassman. And it was really easy for me because I'm like, all right, I don't really have to worry about him. You know, he's got a good head on his shoulder and he's figuring things out. He's a smart guy. And then Josh, just, you know, in that point guard role, not being able to play last year and having a lot to prove, I think, you know, he's going to want the ball in his hands at the end of the game. You know, he's making the right play, the right pass, hitting open guys, yes, against Bellarmine. And, you know, I think he's going to definitely grow in that big leader role and, you know, having a lot of good pieces around him. Obviously, you know, you'll have Thomas, you know, doing what Thomas does. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a collective effort. But those, my guess for the two biggest would be Josh and Jawan.
It's interesting that you mentioned Josh, because last year, kind of as the season went on, and I know, if I'm remembering correctly, I think the second half of the season was when he started practicing with you, and Coach Crean brought up several times in press conferences just kind of about how he was helping you guys behind the scenes. You were there for the practices and kind of what he did behind the scenes. What did you see from practicing with him, even the short time you did?
Well, I saw him get healthier, and the more healthy he got, the better he was. And he was just, you know, the hardest guy to guard on the scout team, no matter what day it was. You know, he's a really talented player, you know, especially when he's being surrounded by four managers and Josh Newkirk. It's, you know, kind of a no brainer who you had to really worry about. But, you know, he helped us get better, obviously, from the scout team perspective. But you could kind of see him gain a lot of confidence too as he was getting healthy and start to take a bigger role on the team and be more vocal as well.
Max, you know, I want to go back to the leadership question. You know, last year, you guys did such a good job on the road, and there were several games, especially, you know, in Big Ten play, the Rutgers game where, you know, as a team, you guys didn't really play very well, but you stepped up and had a big game off the bench. The Minnesota game where that first half just wasn't very good, and Zeisloft hits those four threes to kind of get you back going. We all, of course, remember the shot Yogi hit against Iowa. And in Tom Crean's tenure at Indiana, you know, he's had two teams that have done well on the road, the 2013 team and your guys' team last year, and those were very senior-driven teams. And obviously now, you know, losing Colin Hartman, you know, no seniors that'll be playing, you know, big minutes unless Hartman gets back. What advice would you give to this year's team about maybe what they can do to succeed on the road, even though, you know, they obviously have that big kind of gaping hole with no seniors who have been through those battles before like you guys were last year and were kind of able to provide that anchor when, you know, things weren't going very well and you might have lost a game that, that maybe you should have won on the road were it not for the seniors stepping up.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest things for the team this year is the fact that we had last year, and they were able to see, you know, what older guys' confidence looks like on the road. You know, when the whole arena is yelling at you and, you know, it's, you're not in a comfortable environment, to be able to settle down and make big plays. Like, for instance, you know, in the round of 32 against Kentucky, you have, it was a very large Kentucky crowd, and a very high stress, high energy game. And you have a freshman, Thomas Bryant, knock down some big free throws at the end. You know, it's, I think over the year, over the progression of that year, you had a lot of guys kind of get comfortable in those settings. And I think that is going to transfer to this year, you know, and a lot of those guys, you know, you have OG, Thomas, who had a lot of those big moments. And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting dynamic, you know, having a lot of those guys who were there last year be able to help some of these new guys out as well. And hopefully, you know, new guys will take the lead because, like you were saying, you know, we had a good year on the road last year. And if they can just follow their lead, there shouldn't be too much to worry about. You know, hopefully, you know, they'll have a good showing against Kansas and I can kind of gain that confidence away from Assembly Hall, because it is one of the biggest, you know, you're playing probably one of, if not the best home court advantage in the nation. And then, you know, you go to a place where you barely have any fans there. It's probably the biggest difference from home and away and for any team.
You mentioned the game against Kansas on Friday out in Hawaii, and you guys obviously took a trip to Hawaii last year, and it didn't go quite as you wanted from a basketball perspective, but what is that process like? I mean, that, you know, traveling so far away from home, you know, playing a basketball game out there, what was that like last year in Maui, and how might things be different? We all hope it's certainly a different performance on the court this year for the Hoosiers than what you guys had last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Obviously, last year didn't go quite as well as we wanted it to, but, you know, you'd learn a lot. Even with losing, you learned a lot. And, you know, you're flying in a plane all day to go play, you know, top five team in the nation. You're going to have some bonding moments and guys are going to get closer, you know, because you're forced to be together. You know, you're going to have the freshmen in the dorms, guys in the apartments, you know, see each other practice, different class schedules. You know, you go from that to, okay, you know, he's your roommate. You're sitting next to each other on the plane. You're spending every day together. You know, you're walking around together. You're doing everything together. And that just starts to build the chemistry of this team. So I think, you know, the Coach Crean took him in New York, you know, about a month ago and was trying to kind of build some of that same stuff. And this is just another stepping stone to building the chemistry between the guys.
Max, I haven't watched Thomas now play two exhibition games and, you know, practicing with him all last season. You saw how he grew from the beginning of last year to the end of last year. What's the biggest difference you see now, maybe from where he was at the end of that North Carolina game to right now?
I think he's, you know, as far as just Thomas's athletic ability, I think he's, the biggest thing I notice is he's moving a lot better. He's, you know, he looks stronger. He's running a lot with a bigger stride, and he's just running down the court using that stride better. Obviously, you know, with another year of experience and, you know, a summer in a different role, being one of the older guys on the team now, you see him start to mature, and he was a very emotional guy last year. And, you know, a lot of the times it was positive. Sometimes it was frustration. I think he's, you know, as he gets older and matures, he's going to understand, the value of his positive emotions. And I think, with his maturity and the year he's going to have this year and the year he thinks he can have this year, he'll be a very huge in just a lot of the intangible departments, just as far as what he can do to bring up the team and uplift them in times they need him.
I had a conversation at some point earlier in the non-conference season last year with a couple of people, and I may even talk to Jared about it in respect to OG. You know, I didn't really think, and this is maybe one of the bigger miscalculations that I've ever made. I didn't think he was going to have much of an impact on last year's team. And by the end of the year, he was one of the most important players on the roster. Was that something you guys saw building kind of in practice as the non-conference season went along? Because there was one game, I think, in Maui where he didn't even get in. And then by the end of the season, the Kentucky game specifically, he had two huge blocks on Jamal Murray and just played a terrific all-around game. It was a pretty pretty ridiculous rise from where he started to the end of the season. Was that something you guys kind of saw building behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think it's the overall transition from high school to college. The game's so different, and, you know, especially a guy like OG who in high school is just jumping over everybody and, you know, not really worried too much about, you know, the details of the game because he doesn't have to. You know, that was probably the biggest thing for him. You know, it happened to me my freshman year at Michigan as well, even though I redshirted. It's just there's so many new things you never knew were included with the game of basketball. And I think, you know, it's a little bit overwhelming at first, and it's hard to be confident when you don't feel like you know quite everything yet. And, you know, he definitely put in the work on and off the court, understanding, you know, what he needed to do. And then, you know, with guys going down and getting hurt, he knew that it was his to take, really. You know, he had the ability, and as long as he had the confidence to go with it, he could be a huge part. And you saw him in practice, just, you know, week by week, just kind of be more noticeable and be like, oh, hey, that guy should be playing a lot more minutes, just because he is a really talented player. So yeah, I would say yes. Over the course of the season, in practice and in games, we saw him grow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, OG and obviously Juwan played a much bigger role as his freshman season went on, and really that entire freshman class had a huge impact on you guys winning the Big Ten title last year. You've now had a chance to see this year's freshman class up close: Deron Davis and Curtis Jones and Devontae Green, Grant Gaylon, and also Freddie McSwain, a newcomer who played his first game. What were your kind of initial impressions of Indiana's newcomers this year?
I think their confidence is one of the things that you notice right away. You know, Curtis and Devontae, you know, had really good games against Hope, and, you know, they're making some very veteran plays. Obviously, you know, there was a couple times you could, the shine of the freshman kind of came out with a couple of the things they did and a couple of the plays they made. But overall, I'd say confidence is probably one of the biggest strengths of the freshmen. You know, they're a talented bunch too. You got just a lot of points that will be scored with all those guys. Even Freddie, you know, it's good to see him back against Bellarmine, kind of getting into the mix. Although, you know, he wasn't big on the point side, just the way his rebounding can change a game. You know, you play a athletic team like, you know, we played last, like North Carolina or Kentucky or Kansas or anybody, and having a guy that can sky up there and, you know, get to just a little bit higher than everybody else for a rebound is huge. It wins you so many more possessions and puts you in a position to win basketball games.
You know, a lot is expected this year of Robert Johnson and James Blackman Jr., you know, because they're obviously stepping in and will be leading the backcourt. They have experience. Obviously, both are very talented players. How did they look to you in these first two games? And do you think that those two guys are going to be up to the challenge of leading this team from their backcourt positions?
I think so. You know, I definitely liked what I saw out of both of them. I think they are going to be great pieces to the entire puzzle. You know what you're going to get. James is going to give you, you know, exceptional offensive ability, and he's probably the best offensive player on the court most times. And then Rob's just, you know, he's just a tough guy. He's going to, you know, just make those hard-nosed plays, and he's going to provide that that spark, you know, whether he comes off the bench or he's starting or anything. And it's, you know, having guys like that who are, you know, another year older now and another year more confident is going to be really, really important for the team.
Max, I've asked this question to a couple of players in the preseason, even asked this to Coach Judson and Coach Martin, and I kind of got the standard, we approach every game the same way answer, but I know that's not necessarily the case. I'm curious, from your perspective, when you're going into a season opener against Kansas as opposed to something like, you know, a smaller school like a Mississippi Valley State or a Liberty, is the preparation any different at all? And as a player, you know, are you looking at the matchup with Kansas a little bit more excitement than you would, say, you know, a Liberty or a smaller school?
I mean, you know, it's obviously they do prepare the same way for every game. You know, they're going to do the same sort of stuff, same sort of scout, because they want to keep it consistent. They want to develop a routine for preparing for a team. But, you know, there's no question you got extra excitement when you're going to Hawaii and playing a top five team, especially a team like Kansas, you know, who's just been a basketball powerhouse for the past, you know, I don't know how many years. Definitely for sure. There's definitely going to be an added excitement. You know, people might spend, you know, a couple more minutes studying the scouting reports than they would for a Liberty. You know, instead of knowing a guy just, you know, favors his right hand, he might, you know his favorite three moves instead. You know, it's, you're going to put a little bit more work in because it's a big game. You know, it could be a potentially a season changing win. You know, it could be one of those games where March comes around that, you know, that win pops up early on that that resume, and it can be very important to go where you want to go in March.
Hey, Max, I want to ask you about the schedule, because we've talked a lot about Indiana's non-conference schedule, you know, on this show. Obviously, this year, you know, it's highlighted by those games against Kansas and North Carolina and Louisville and Butler. But then, you know, you've got a lot of those games against, you know, kind of the sub-250, you know, ranked teams that, you know, come into Assembly Hall, typically don't put up a great challenge. What is it like from a player's perspective? I mean, do you enjoy those games because it's a good time to get out and, you know, you're probably going to score 100 points and they're fun up and down games? Or when there are so many of them, do you kind of wish that maybe there would be more games against maybe, you know, a MAC team or a team that, you know, you're going to be favored to beat, but maybe can come in and give you a little bit more of a challenge? How do you view that from a player's perspective?
You know, I'd say for this year's team, you know, having not one senior on the court with Colin Hurt, it's the more of those games, the better. Just because, you know, you have Juwan Morgan starting at point guard against Hope. You know, it's Coach Crane can kind of try what he wants to try, put guys out there, see guys gain confidence. That's one of the biggest things. You know, you saw, as far as confidence goes, you see Grant Galen, you know, airballing his first three against Hope, you know, kind of, you know, have his head down. And you could just see once he hit that three against Bellarmine, you know, he had that extra pep in his step on defense. He was excited. He was making the right play, and it comes down and hits another three, and it just soars, you know, especially for those young guys, just to get more games like those under the belt. You know, although they aren't a highly ranked team, just to be able to be out there in front of the home crowd in the same environment, making big plays and just getting repetition of doing the right thing. It's going to be very important when the bigger games come around.
So what are your expectations for this year's team? You know, now having seen them in these couple of exhibition games, what do you think the ceiling is for this team, and what do you expect them to accomplish?
You know, I think this team can be as good as they want to be. They are a very high potential team. You know, probably just watching the Bellarmine game, I don't know, there's probably 8 to 10 dunks, one of the more athletic teams in the country. You know, the way, you know, you have Freddie rebounding, just everyone on the bench can make a wild play. You know, less for me, I couldn't, you know, I wasn't exactly a wild player. I was more Mr. Consistency. But you know, this team can be as good as they want to be, as long as they, you know, keep their heads on straight, keep making the right play, not trying to do too much, and playing as a unit, five guys out there playing as one piece. You know, I think they can, you know, they can win as many games as they want to, honestly.
Max, I'd never forgive myself if I didn't let you go without asking this, but since you were kind of outspoken a little bit on this topic last year with the transfer rule, and now that Spike has ended up at Purdue, and you're an Indiana guy now, what's it going to be like seeing him suit up for the Boilermakers?
I think it's going to be awesome. You know, it's a unique experience to be able to do that. And, you know, when Purdue comes to Assembly Hall, you know, I'm going to be hoping he does well, but obviously hoping Indiana wins. It just makes it more exciting. You know, it's just, you know, I could get into the whole transition of, you know, where college basketball has come from the 60s to the, you know, 2016 now, but I'm not going to get into that because, you know, it's turning into a little bit more of a business. And, you know, in a business, you have transfers, like, you know, European soccer, you guys literally will transfer to another team in the middle of the season. You know, it's not quite that extreme college basketball yet, but, you know, it makes things exciting. You know, you build rivalries, and it's, you know, although you have school on the side too, but it's the thing about the grad transfer is, you know, you graduated. You're not leaving your school halfway through your undergrad and, you know, bailing on your program, losing credits and setting yourself behind. You know, you graduated and you're starting something new, and you have a chance to make an impact as much as you can. So I'm super excited to watch him play this year.
Last question for you, Max. How was that trip to China that you guys took?
It was fun. Never been to Asia before. So it was interesting to be able to see that. China, I'm saying it's kind of like a different planet. You know, it's just so different. 12-hour time change. So, you know, if it's 3 p.m. here right now, it's 3 a.m. over there. And it's just bizarre. Everything's so different. The basketball, you know, there was teams from South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, like a Zimbabwe team, like Iran. It was Middle East, everywhere, everywhere except Antarctica. But it was interesting to see all those styles of play. You know, as far as the basketball goes, didn't quite win as many games as we wanted to. Nick Zizloff was supposed to be on our team, and you know, he had to go get picked up by the Pacers. So, you know, we're kind of mad at him for that. We can't blame him.
Yeah.
But it went well. It was definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience and something, you know, I would definitely want to do again.
And who did you go over there with? Like, what was the organization?
It was FISU, so like Federal International Sports University. So it's kind of like it was a part of, you know, like FIBA, like the governing body, but it's like the university style. And
gotcha.
Actually, 3-on-3 basketball is like widely played everywhere else except the United States. Like there's like official rules. I had no idea. You know, every team we talked to over there is like, you guys don't have, you know, like a 3-on-3 league or anything. It's like, no, like we'll play pickup, you know, you check it up and play 3-on-3. But yeah, it's interesting. 12-second shot clock. You know, when say I score the basket, the other team just takes it out of the net. You can guard them out of the basket. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Huh.
10-minute games and 12-second shot clock.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, Max, as I said, really enjoying your work on BTN Plus. I know a lot of us IU fans, we get kind of annoyed by having to watch those games on BTN Plus and pay $9.99 for a couple of months. But you know, having a guy like you on there that played with a lot of these guys and can offer, you know, really interesting, unique insight, definitely makes that more than worth it. So I highly encourage IU fans, maybe if you didn't, you know, sign up with BTN Plus for those first couple games, you know, Max, you said you're going to be doing the Liberty game and which other one?
Liberty game in Mississippi Valley State, and
yeah,
then the rerun of Bellarmine's on tonight at 7:30 Eastern. So it's on BTN.
Excellent. Yeah, great insight from Max. So definitely worth the price. And thanks for joining us on Podcast on the Brink, Max. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Max.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.